Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krejcha, and I'm the co-founder of Autism Empowerment and also your host for today's show. As you heard in the little pre-recorded intro, Autism Empowerment is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're dedicated to making life more meaningful for children, teens, adults, and families in the autism and Asperger communities locally, regionally, and worldwide. We're here to support you with resources, training, special events, and nationally known programs such as our Autism and Scouting Program and Autism Empowerment Radio, which you're listening to today. We invite you to become more connected with us after the show. You can do so by visiting us on our website at www.autismempowerment.org. And there you can get to know our mission, our vision, our core values and beliefs. Everybody on our board of directors is either on the autism spectrum or closely related to someone who is. So you'll find that our group is a bunch of proactive and positive autism allies. You can also connect with us through social media at Facebook, Twitter, and a wide variety of places, and we are always looking for volunteers. Today's show recording date is Monday, January 27th, 2014, and our special guest for today is Coach Jim Johnson. And I'm really excited to be able to talk with him today, and we will bring him on shortly. But before I bring Coach Jim on air and let you know what his claim to fame is, I want to thank our recent guest, Nikki Zimmerman, who was the founder and still is of the Out of Step Tool, which is a new free website where people with disabilities of all kinds can offer services or sell products and have the opportunity for greater financial independence. What they have going on over there is really neat, and you can check them out at www.outofstep.com. And if you missed that show or any shows that we have had in the past, they are available for you to listen to on archive for free. You can do so through blogtalkradio.com /autismempowerment. We're also on iTunes. Also, something cool that we added to the Autism Empowerment website last year was a page for all of our past and current Autism Empowerment Radio and Autism and Scouting Radio guests. So after the show, if you want to know a little bit more about someone like Coach Jim Johnson, you can head over to our website. His page will be up within the next 24 hours. And you can search for names, search for radio. There's a whole bunch of different pages worth of content on our site about that, and you can plug into things from there as well. And for those of you that are at least somewhat familiar with Autism Empowerment, you know that our organization was founded on four foundational pillars: accept, enrich, inspire, and empower. We truly believe that empowerment for individuals and families in the autism community and beyond often occurs when there's a combination of acceptance and enrichment and inspiration in one's life. As such, our organization hosts acceptance events. We enrich through workshops and panels and webinars, and we help inspire through blogs and sharing really cool inspirational stories like the one you're going to hear today. Although it took place a few years back, it's an amazing story that gets talked about to this day, and with very good reason. Perhaps some of our listeners remember, back on February 15, 2006, an autistic high school student and basketball team manager stunned the world when he entered a basketball game in the dying minutes and proceeded to shoot the lights out. He scored over 20 points in just over 4 minutes, which is just unheard of. Major news outlets around the world picked up the story, and the YouTube video suddenly got out there really quickly and had millions of hits It's still getting hits today in a lot of different formats. And I bet that most of you out there, if you have had access to social media and are in the autism community, you may have seen it. It's just a great video. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and check it out today. Visit our Facebook page and just click in on the link there, and you'll get to watch it. It's a wonderful video, and after the event occurred, everybody in the world practically seemed to be fascinated to have everything to do with Jason McElwain, who is affectionately known as J-Mac. Coach Johnson, who was Jason's coach and put him into the game, was also featured in major news outlets around the country. But the story began long before Jason took the court that night at Greece Athena High School in Rochester, New York. And so we're here to talk about that today with Coach Jim Johnson, J-Mac's basketball coach and now also a public speaker and author on the subject of helping others realize their dreams. I'm pleased to welcome Coach Jim Johnson to Autism Empowerment Radio. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be on your show.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on air. It's a wonderful story, and we look forward to having you talk about it today. But for our listeners who may not know, why don't you tell us first a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been a teacher and a coach. This is not my 33rd year in the education business. I'm actually going to retire at the end of this year from teaching to pursue a full-time speaking career. I was brought up in a sports family. My father was actually my high school basketball coach, and so I fell in love with the game of basketball and have been able to be a high school coach for over 30 years now, 28 years as a head coach. And I've had, you know, a lot of highs and lows in coaching, but certainly more highs than lows, and I'm hoping I could still do it for many more years. I enjoy it immensely, and now I've had an opportunity to, you know, go travel the country and share how I can help others make their dreams come true, like Jason was able to make his dream come true back in February of 2006. So, but life has been good for me, and I have one son. He is a second-year law student actually in California, and since we're in Rochester, New York, and is presently about 5 degrees above zero, and he's about 80 degrees. I think he's got a better situation right now. I've been married to my wife for 31 years. She's also a physical education teacher like myself. And so, you know, my family, I've been very fortunate to have a wonderful family and a terrific career as well.
That's wonderful. It sounds like you might need to pay a visit to your son in California soon.
Yeah, we're ironically, I do have an engagement. I'm speaking to Lincoln Financial Group in February out there, so I'm hoping I can at least see him for a brief time while I'm out there.
Yeah, and warm up a little bit while you're out
there. Yeah, exactly.
There.
Yeah, in fact, it's supposed to be 25 below here, wind chill tomorrow, so not real nice right now.
So. Well, I'm glad you were able to call in before it got to be too cold.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine that many of our listeners out there have seen the video on YouTube. And, you know, I know it took place back in 2006, and I have a little guy who's 7 and one who's 14, both of them on the autism spectrum. And this actually took place before our youngest was born, but I remember seeing the video around the time that he was diagnosed in 2008. It was passed around. I'm sure it had been passed around many, many times before that, but I got to see it at that point. And it really inspired me because I saw my little guy and I wasn't sure if he was ever going to be able to talk or what his life had in store for him. And the video just brought tears to my eyes. It was very emotional. For those listeners who may not be that familiar, why don't you tell us a little bit about Jason McElwain and the story? Take us through that game on February 15th of 2006.
Sure. Yep, that part I can remember quite well. So Jason came to our basketball program as a sophomore in high school, and at that point in my life, I did not know that much about autism. He actually tried out for our JV basketball team. I'm the varsity coach as a sophomore, and he didn't make the team, but my JV coach really saw that he had great passion for the game of basketball, so he kept him on as the JV team manager. And actually, a little known fact is that he actually got in. Our JV coach was very nice and let him play in the last game of their JV season. He actually got in the game and got fouled on a three-pointer and actually made three foul shots. So that was a great thrill for him as well. And then his junior year, he tried out for the varsity team, which is the team I coach. And he did not make the team, but boy, he really, I just fell in love with the kid. The kid was so passionate about basketball, and he was so into our basketball program. So I kept him as our team manager, and he actually did that for his junior and senior year. And when he came out for his senior year, and the one thing I really admired about Jason, he had great perseverance. He actually tried out for our basketball team three consecutive years, and that's been very, very rare. In fact, it's an exception to the rule when you have anyone try out if they don't make the team more than once. And he tried out three times. So yeah, I really admired that about him. And when I didn't keep him on the team as a senior, I said, I have a gift for you for your loyalty. And he said, what's that? And I said, I'm going to put you in uniform for senior night and hopefully get you in the game. And he was pretty excited about that opportunity. In fact, I kid in my keynotes that periodically he asked me about that uniform. And, of course, I define periodically as about every other day. So he's pretty psyched about that opportunity to get in uniform. So senior night came on February 15th of his senior year, which was 2006. And for me, senior night's always a very touching night to see all our seniors now bring their parents out and they embrace them and give their mom a flower. And it's really a neat night. But this night was profoundly touching to see Jason, instead of in his white shirt and black tie, was now donning number 52. And he was really pumped up. And to see him warm up with the other players was really special to me. So when the game started, we had a really great student body following that year. They called themselves the Six Men, and as the game started, they started chanting, "We want J-Mac," I guess, just in case I forgot. So after three quarters, everybody had gotten in the game but Jason. And my thought process is I really wanted to not only get him in the game, but I wanted to get him in with enough time so I could just leave him in, and I was hoping he could score a basket. And with just over 4 minutes to go, I stood up and I pointed to him, and he was going into the game, and the place just exploded. And what I didn't know, and Jason did not know either, was one of our parents had made all these placards of J-Mac's face and put them on these paint sticks, and all the student body had them, but they didn't show them until Jason got in the game. Well, I got so overwhelmed with emotion, I actually sat down on the bench and tears started roll down my face. It was truly very, very touching to me. And then, so he gets in the game, and the first time he touches the ball, he's in the right corner behind the three-point arc, and he shoots a three, and it's not even close. I mean, he misses by like 6 feet, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, please, God, just help him score one basket. In the second possession, which you don't see on many of the videos, he actually hit a much closer shot, and this time it hit the backboard, it hit the rim and fell off, and I'm thinking, okay, we're starting to get closer. And then the third time we got the ball, he got the ball behind the three-point arc again, this time from the right wing, and he shot it, and it went in, and the place just imploded. And it was, I mean, there was about 1,000 people in the gym, but it sounded like 100,000. It was just pure bedlam. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, God must be a basketball fan. Not only has Jason scored, but he's got a three-pointer to boot. And then for the next 3 minutes, he just turned into his idol, Kobe Bryant. He just started making three after three, and I could not believe what I was seeing. And so tears are continuing to roll down my face. And with about a minute to go, I get a tap on my shoulder on the bench. I look behind me, and it's J-Mac's mother, and she's bawling her eyes out, and she embraces me and says, "Coach, this is the best gift you could have ever given my son." Of course, I cry hard. I was so touched. And then how the game ended was something that was just incredible. Our opponent that night, Spencer Board High School, and I certainly want to give kudos to them. Their coach, Josh Harder, and their players were just such great sports that night. Well, anyways, Spencer Board scores about 10 seconds to go, and our player takes a ball out of bounds and normally throws it to our point guard, but this time he threw it right to J-Mac, and J-Mac's dribbling down the court, and the clock's counting down, and It gets to about 3 seconds, and Jason pulls up, and he's like 2 or 3 feet behind the three-point arc. I'm thinking, oh, no, Jason, don't shoot from there. And he launches this rainbow, and it swishes. And I look over, and a complete student body run down the court. And all I can think of is, oh, my gosh, I'm living the movie, Rudy. This is incredible. And then, and then our players run on the floor. And then the other thing is his mom, she's a little bitty lady, about 5 foot tall. I see her bobbing and weaving to get through the mass of youth to get to her son. And then the other thing is, at that point, I had no idea. I knew he had a lot of points. But our public address announcer comes on a few seconds later and says, and the leading scorer for the Trojans tonight, J-Mac, with 20 points. I'm going, oh, my gosh, he played the whole game. He scored 160. It was the most remarkable night I've ever had in coaching. It's something I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Oh, the energy in that room. And he scored 20 points in about 4 minutes, right? Not 20
right,
points
right.
in the whole game.
Yeah,
oh,
20
yeah.
points. And actually, by the time he actually scored his first basket, it was really 20 points in just over 3 minutes, really. He got in the game with just over four, but he didn't score and pretty close to the first minute that he was in there. So it just even makes it more remarkable.
Wow, I'm glad someone was taking video. I remember seeing the very last shot, and like you just described it, I'm like, well, that's from really far away, and it was just perfect. You know, like
yep.
you said, God must be a basketball fan because boy, that was wonderful.
Right, absolutely.
So now, obviously, that night changed your lives forever for both of you, and I'm sure for his mom, for so many different people. I can't imagine being in that, you know, watching that game that night and not having been touched, you know. But what happened afterwards? I guess media-wise, it just must have been an incredible whirlwind after that.
Yeah, you know what was interesting, Karen, was that initially it was quiet. The next day I got up. I was really excited. I opened up, and our newspaper actually had a headline, but it said Trojans, our nickname of our school, ties for league title. So I thought for sure Jason would get a headline. And it did mention in the article that he scored 20 points, but they didn't make that big of a deal. And although it touched me deeply, I really didn't think it would go much further than that. But what I didn't know was Jason's speech pathologist was actually at the game. And the next day at school, he actually called one of our local TV stations and said, you got to come and borrow the tape from the coach. This is the best thing I've ever seen in sports. And they did. It was one of our local TV stations, Channel 8, and they came in. They showed it that night, and it got such a nice response that actually the next day at school we had three local TV stations. And then one of our local sportscasters asked me if we'd be okay if he sent it out nationally. And we went into a weekend and where our kids were actually going into February break where they're off from school, but our team was coming back because we practiced for our postseason tournament. And it was a very quiet weekend. And Monday morning, I'm getting ready for practice, and the phone rings, and it's CBS Evening News. And he said, Coach, we heard about your game. We would like to come in and do a story about it. And when they came in, and after that, the phone literally never stopped ringing for like 2.5 straight weeks. It was the most craziest. I mean, it was fun. It was when I tell you, I never knew there were so many radio stations and media, and I mean, we had a Japanese TV station come in. It was just absolutely crazy. but it was certainly a wonderful experience as well.
What fun! What fun! And how did Jason handle all of this?
You know, for both of us, I think it was overwhelming at first, but, you know, as we started to settle in and, you know, like our first interview, I'll never forget, was a live interview, and we both were very good, but, you know, we started to do so many of them that, you know, we started to understand what it was all about, and, you know, so both of us really, you know, grew a lot from, you know, the initial interviews and, you know, the overwhelming experience. But it was certainly challenging because at the time we were still, you know, our team was still playing and we're trying to keep them focused. And, of course, you know, we got TV stations at the practices and, you know, things that were just not normal, you know, for that situation.
Oh, yes, I'm sure kids must have suddenly been a little bit more aware, a little bit more nervous. Oh, my goodness, all of these people out there watching.
Right.
I loved the part where in the audience they had pictures of Jason and they were holding that up. And that just That's just a wonderful thing. It sounds like a lot of people had a lot of fondness for him already.
Yeah, they absolutely did. You know, the kids are really, I mean, our team really grew to love him because they knew how passionate and how much he was into trying to help our team be successful, you know. And so that was, you know, the kind of the neat cherry on top is that the whole thing, Jason was really trying to push our team to win our Section 5 championship, which is a pretty big deal in our area. And I had never won one as a coach, and we ended up winning it his senior year. So that was the first one, and it was kind of like breaking the 4-minute mile barrier, because since then we've won four of them now. So, you know, that we broke that barrier down. But, you know, that was the one thing, and I think that was the way the kids and the community could give back, because they saw how much he had given to our program.
And you're giving back a lot now, too. I mean, you know, you've taken this miracle, one would call it, at least your book is called A Coach and a Miracle, and you've written a book called A Coach and a Miracle, Life Lessons from a Man Who Believed in an Autistic Boy. And this book talks about, you know, walks through things that happened that actual night, obviously quite a bit of the backstory as well, but you're also actually giving life lessons and coaching to people who are reading. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure, yeah. I'm very, very big in my own personal development. In fact, with my team for many years, we have a theme every week, and we give them a quote each day, and we talk about, like, this week our theme is happiness. And you know, and I'm really big on trying to help others with their own personal development through all the things I learned. So when I decided to write the book, I actually wrote it with a co-author. His name was Mike Latona. Mike was actually a high school classmate of mine, and it was a newspaper writer. And Mike also has two boys on the autism spectrum, so that the story of Jason very much dearly touched him as well. And so, you know, when we got together and we decided, you know, what do we want to do? Because we got a really neat story to show and to share, but I really wanted to give more to people, and so that's why we wrote it. You know, with my kind of like the first six chapters was off my six keys to success and making your dreams come true, and then we added a few other chapters. But the whole concept was that we wanted to make it an evergreen book that, you know, it had a great story, but also had a lot of life lessons, and you know, we have a lot of questions for you to answer, and, you know, helping you in your own life.
Can you share with us what some of those six essential keys are to make your dreams come true?
Sure can. My first key is passion, and I've talked about that some, but you know, I think the thing that I share with audiences now, you know, and I learned so much from myself and Jason as well, is that, you know, you need to find things you love to do, and the more that you find things that you love to do and make them a big part of your life, I think those are essential in getting you started. Because I found when you love something, you're going to get good in it because you invest a lot of time in it, because it doesn't feel like work even though you put many hours into it. You know, so coaching basketball for both Jason and I, you know, we're very, very passionate about it. My second one is mission. And, you know, many years ago I read Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the things he talks about in that book is to understand and write down your own mission statement. At that point in my life, I wasn't sure exactly why I was put on this earth. And so I started to ask myself, I started to jot notes down. And it's something I don't think you come up with and, you know, sitting down with for 15 minutes. But I think it's something that you really got to understand is what your mission in life is. Now I'm very clear my mission in life is to be an outstanding role model that makes a positive difference in the world by helping others make their dreams come true. And what I realized is when I was clear about my mission, it really gave me that guiding light to help me make better choices in my life, because I knew what my purpose, my mission is in life. And that's something I really encourage people when I do my keynotes, is that I, you know, if you don't have your own mission statement, I highly recommend that you think about it and write it down, because it really gives you a great direction in your life. My third key is goal setting, being an effective goal setter. And we have all heard about goals, but from my research, not many people actually do it. And, you know, the couple points I talk about goal setting is, I think when you think it, ink it, and in other words, write it down. And the power of writing down goals is very, very important. And then the other thing is to do it consistently. Like I write my goals down in a pad every single day, just to reinforce what's important to me. I also write them on little cards that I read to myself at least 3 times a day in front of a mirror. So it kind of reinforces what's most important. And the last little thing I think is really important about goal setting is I think you got to set a really big goal, something that really makes you stretch. And the reason you do that is because you have to add disciplines to your life to make that big goal come true. And when you add disciplines to your life, you become a more attractive person to the marketplace. My fourth essential key is perseverance, and that's a key that I don't know of anyone personally, whether I know them or not, that's been successful that doesn't have this. The ability to not give up on your dreams, to understand that you're going to have to overcome obstacles, and whether you go above them, around them, or through them. But you got to stay perseverant with that. And, you know, I one of the illustrations I give, you know, I've been a varsity coach now for 28 years, but the first coaching job at the varsity level I ever had, I actually was fired after 1 year. And it really gave me a burning desire to say, you know what, I know I made the right decision to be a varsity coach, and I'm really going to go and do that again and learn from my mistakes. And fortunately now we haven't had a losing season in 21 consecutive years. You know, we've won a number of championships. So certainly things have changed for me. But the ability to not give up on your dreams even when you get knocked down is really, really important. My fifth essential key I call carpe diem, which of course means seize the day. And in that I talk about two components, which are work ethic and attitude. And one of the things I always talk to people about is if you want to be exceptional, you got to be great in the things you control. And you certainly can control your work ethic, and you certainly control your attitude. And those are two things that are got to be constant in your life, that you're going to be a very, very hard worker, and that you're going to have an attitude that's contagious. In fact, one of the quotes I give my team early in the year is, attitudes are contagious, is yours worth catching? And, you know, I think that's really important, you know, how you conduct yourself on a daily basis. And then to put it all together, I know of no one that hasn't been successful, or that has been successful, that hasn't had support of others. And that's why I call it being a team player, the ability to help others, to add value to others, and certainly because of that, people will be helping you because you're looking to help them. So those are the six, and I found that those are things, when you put those in your life, they can help you make your dreams come true like they've helped me make my dreams come true.
Well, that's, you know, I was listening and just pondering upon the different things you were saying, and it just, I feel that the what you're sharing there is really important, not just for the world, but within the autism community. You know, a lot of times we don't always hear those types of messages. It's mm-hmm. more of, okay, you know, how can we overcome this obstacle, maybe how can we overcome this challenge, but proactively taking steps to really look at the positive, and coming at it from that point of view that you are. I think people within our community, it would be very important for them to take a look at your book and to be able to read it. And if they wanted to do so, how could they get in touch with you or purchase the book? Is there a website that they can reach
Absolutely.
You at?
Absolutely, yep. Yep, my website is CoachJimJohnson.com. That way I wouldn't forget it. And on that, you can actually order the book online there. And certainly I have a manager that helps me with my speaking. And certainly we'd love to talk to you, you know, if we can ever support you in any way.
I appreciate that. Have you worked with a lot of youth on the autism spectrum or met a lot since the time of that big game?
You know, I've certainly have done more. In fact, I have a one of my classes this year. I actually have 3 boys that I actually work with another class that all have autism, which has been really a neat experience because, you know, Jason still works in our program. He's an assistant coach with me, so I see him a lot, and I've seen how much he's grown, you know, as a person, as a coach, and, you know, and that kind of thing. But it was kind of neat to bring me back, reminding me, because these boys are all ninth graders, you know, taking me back when I first met Jason. And, you know, now that I know a lot more about autism, I'm certainly not going to say I'm an expert, but I've learned a lot about it. And, you know, I've spoke quite a few different special needs groups over the last, 7.5 years. So, I certainly, one of the things I would like to do is that when I retire from teaching is I'm either going to work with a local autism group here, or I'm also considering actually doing an autism foundation to try to support that community for sure.
That's wonderful. You know, I think for me, I'm on the autism spectrum. I hadn't disclosed that to you earlier, but and I have two children. For us, people that are authentic, that get it, that really come across genuine, it makes such a huge difference. And I can tell just by listening to you that, you know, the way that you treated Jason, the way that you just show respect, it's hard for me sometimes to get the words from my head out of my mouth, but you have this air of authenticity and sincerity about you that's just right on and really there. So I think that any autism group would be just honored and certainly, you know, for the better to have you working with them and helping them out. So I'm glad that you're doing this. I know, I should say, obviously you've had an incredibly successful career as a coach, but it's neat that you're also following this pursuit, the passion, or your own dreams and goals of taking this public speaking and coaching full-time after your retirement.
Right.
That's really neat.
We have
about 14 minutes left in the show, and I'd love you for you to share, you know, a few more things. You had mentioned kind of briefly about JMAC still being there with you today. What are you guys doing, and how often do you keep in touch?
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jason actually, after that game and after that year in 2006, stayed in touch. He actually, you know, would come to some of our games. And actually, 2 years after, he was sitting in my office one day, and he was kind of looking down. I said, "JMAC, what's going on?" He says, "Coach, I really miss the program. Is there any way I can come back and help coach?" And I said, "Yeah, that would be awesome. We'd love to have you." So he's been back working with us now for 6 years. So during basketball season, I see him almost every single day because he comes to almost every practice and all of our games. And so our relationship has really grown, which is really awesome. Jason personally, he works at a local grocery store called Wegmans, which is not a national chain, but it is growing more on the East Coast. And the store he works at is right across the street from our school. And then he also works once a week at a local restaurant. And then, of course, he coaches. He does some speaking, not as much as I do, but, he likes that as well. And the interesting thing is he's really grown physically. In that game, he's about 5'9", 120 pounds. He's now, you wouldn't recognize him, he's about 6'1", 170 pounds. And, I mentioned earlier about goal setting. He's a great illustration. He 2 years ago came into my office and said, "Coach, I got a new idea." And I said, "What's that?" And he says, "I'm going to run the Rochester Marathon." Now, in high school, he had been a runner, but he had kind of gotten away from it. And he wanted to get back into it. So he met with our cross-country coach, the coach that had coached him in high school, and they came up with this plan, this, like, year plan of the nutritional things he should eat and, you know, the workouts, and he followed to a T. Because I asked him, I said, "What's your goal for the marathon?" And he says, "I want to qualify for the Boston Marathon." And I said, "Wow, that's great, Jason. What's the qualifying time for your age?" And he says, "It's 3 hours and 5 minutes. Now, I don't know about your listeners, how many people have run a marathon, but 3 hours, 5 minutes for your first marathon is going pretty darn fast." And I said, "You sure?" He goes, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, we're going to do it." Well, I'm happy to tell you the first marathon he ran in 3 hours, 1 minute, and like 50 seconds. And then he did it again this past September, and he even ran faster. He ran like 3 hours and like 45 seconds. And he actually qualified for the Boston Marathon. He's actually going to run it this year in Boston. He's really excited about that. So, he's just been great for our kids because they see, you know, how much he's into, basketball and how he's into his own goals and, you know, and the ability to set goals and come up with a plan and staying with it is, he's just a tremendous illustration for that. And, it's a real blessing that, you know, for the autism community, certainly, and certainly for people with special needs, because that game, I just believed, I'm not a preacher, but I do believe in God, and I think that was a way that he came back and could give people so much hope, because Jason's, he's just a great example of someone that has persevered through so many difficulties, and he's doing very, very well right now. I'm very proud of him.
That's awesome, and I'm sure his, you know, that having his mom there to be able to actually see the game that night must have just been so, gosh, just so touching for her to be able to see her son having, you know, overcome so much and being able to actually experience, like you said, it was just kind of like the movie come to life, right, of Rudy?
Right, right. Yeah, it was because his mom was very much in the background. His dad came to all of his games, and so that was the first game she had ever come to. So that was really pretty neat, the fact that obviously he had such a great game that, that both his mom and dad could see it.
Oh, that's great that both of them were there. Yeah, I mean, that was the first game. How's he going to top that?
All right.
So, you also, I understand that there was a retirement ceremony for J-Max Jersey. Could you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we had that on December 20th of this past season. We retired as number 52, and it was really an awesome night. We had a full house. We had about 1,500 people there, and we put number 52 up on our wall. And actually, we've only had two players ever in the history of the school that have been retired, and the other one was, the name was John Wallace, and he played the NBA for 7 years. So Jason's in pretty good company, number 44 and number 52. So it was really neat to be able to honor him. He was very, very touched, and it was just a wonderful night.
That's great. Oh, love it, love it, love it, love it. And it's funny that you said that he didn't actually grow taller until actually he got out of high school. But at the time that he was actually playing the game, you said he was about 5'9".
So yeah, I was wondering if he was because his dad is very tall. His dad's about 6'6",
uh-huh.
But his mom is very, very tiny. She's probably 5 foot tall. So he was always quite little, you know, he was more like his mom, and then he really had a growth spurt. He's every bit of 6'1" now, and he's really built his body up, too. He's really, quite strong, where in that game he was, he's only 120 pounds, and now he's 170, so he's, and he's very, very fit. He's, you know, he's taken his fitness level to a very, very high level.
It sounds like he's following your plan of writing down his goals, being accountable to them, and wow, that's really wonderful. I mentioned that his size, because that just makes his shooting all that much more remarkable in that type of a situation, especially that last shot that he made.
Right, without a doubt.
Now, I wanted you to also share, because I'm really inspired by the things that you're sharing, and I'm sure our listeners are too, and we love doing, you know, shows that provide inspiration. You talked about your six essential keys
mm-hmm.
to making your dreams come true, but you also have six keys to being an effective leader. Do you have some time to go over those?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, I also
Great.
Do a leadership workshop that I, share around the country, and because I've studied leadership extensively, because I've been a head coach for a long, long time, and leadership is one of the areas that I really enjoy learning more and more about. So the six that I share with it, number one is clarifying your vision. I think all great leaders have a vision and a direction they want to take the people that are following them. So I think that's where it all starts, is you got to make that very clear of where you're trying to go, what's the road you're taking. Number two is building trust. I think no leader is effective if the followers aren't trusting them, and I think that's a two-way street. You know, they've got to trust you, and you've got to be able to trust them, and I think that's hugely important in building a great team, is to have a leader that you can trust. My third one is what I call creating the edge. I think all effective leaders find ways to give their team or organization an edge. And, you know, like I give some examples. Like, for example, in our basketball team, we do a mental imagery the day before a game, which I don't think many teams do. And, you know, we weightlift during this season, which more teams are doing, but a lot of teams didn't used to do that. And those are just a couple things that, you know, what you're trying to do is find a way that you can create an edge for your organization, your team, whatever you're the leader of. My fourth is that I feel great leaders are effective communicators. They are constantly reinforcing through various different types of communication and making sure that, you know, that everybody's on the same board. And one of the examples I do is I've been doing for many years now is, you know, we have captains on our team, and every Monday we have a captain's meeting. And first thing we always ask about is, you know, how is the chemistry? In fact, I've got a meeting later today with my captain before we meet for practice. So I think that's really important that you are always communicating your vision and making sure that the lines of communication are always open. My fifth one is I think all leaders are leaders by examples, that are great leaders, you know, and that what they say they also do, and, you know, they have high expectations. And I think the first person you must lead is yourself. And so if you're not taking care of yourself, then it's hard to take care of others. So I think leading example is certainly essential. And then the last one is what I call leaving a profit. And what I mean by that is that I think all leaders that are effective, whatever they touch turns to gold, not garbage. And, you know, I really try to study leaders that have taken over, whether it's a business or, you know, a basketball team or whatever. And when they turn it around and make it such a positive thing, you know, and I always try and find out, you know, what did they do? How did they build that culture? And I think that's what effective leaders do, is everything they touch turns to gold. They're constantly trying to find ways to make their team, organization become better.
Those are wonderful. I was just thinking, gosh, you could come to speak to our Autism Empowerment Board of Directors meeting. We'd be pumped up and ready to go. I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and implement all this.
I'd be glad to. So.
Well, you know, we have less than 5 minutes to go, and I want to give you the opportunity to share anything that you haven't yet covered that you feel might be of importance, also to just kind of remind our listeners where they can go to be able to get more information about you and pick up your book, A Coach and a Miracle.
Sure. Well, again, my website is coachjimjohnson.com. I do have a manager. Her name is Kate Holgate that is wonderful, and she'd be glad to help you in anything that we can help you with. Certainly my book is on there as well. And, you know, as far as I think the one thing that, you know, I would like to share with your listeners is that, you know, two things. One would be the ability to persevere and not give up, you know, and certainly not give up on yourself and certainly not give up on others, whether it's a family member or whatever. And I think the second thing is always finding ways that you can give people opportunities and trying to always figure out ways how you can help and add value to people. I think when you do those things, your life is going to be better. And the more that you can, the more people you can help. I mean, you know, I'm a big motivational guy, and you know, I listened to Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker for many, many years, and it passed away not too long ago. And I remember his philosophy was, if you can have everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. And I think that's, you know, such a great thing, is the more people you can help, the better off you're going to be. So you know, I think those are things I'd like to leave your audience.
Oh, and those are very wonderful points. I mean, I truly also believe that when you're stepping outside of yourself to help others, you're actually getting much more back in return than you would ever expect. And so I really appreciate everything that you said. Coach Jim, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on Autism Empowerment Radio. Our hope that our listeners will go check out your website and purchase your book, and also just kind of keep in touch with what you have going on. And I know you've got a Facebook page, connect with you there. They can reach you on Twitter. you've got a lot of wonderful things that you're sharing with our community, and we hope that you will perhaps guest blog for us or come back to our radio show again in the future, because you are a real inspiration.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being on your show, Karen. It was wonderful. And again, if I'm always looking to try to support people, so if I can help you in any way or any of your listeners, I'd be glad to do that.
That's wonderful. So, yes, we will probably take you up on that. So, again, thank you so much, Coach Jim Johnson. Guys, this is such a wonderful interview. I wish I could have talked with him for much longer. I do definitely recommend you check out his book, A Coach and a Miracle, Life Lessons from a Man Who Believed in an Autistic Boy. And if you never saw the YouTube video of J-Mac playing that night, visit the Facebook page of Autism Empowerment. We've got a link to it up there, and you can click in. It's just a wonderful thing to see. Thank you very much again for tuning into our show, and please www.autismempowerment.org. We will have Coach's page up on our website within the next 24 hours, and we'll also have a link to his website and where you can purchase his book and when he's doing his next motivational speaking tour in your area. So thank you very much, and have a wonderful day. Goodbye.